Coffee shops have popped up all over Western New York. Some of them are chains, such as Starbucks. Others are locally owned and operated. I'm Mark Scott, and the February issue of Buffalo Spree explores the coffee culture in Western New York. And joining us on Press Pass this week to talk about coffee is Spree editor Elizabeth
Licata.
Hello,
Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Well, coffee houses have been around forever. I remember back in college, 45 years ago, I'd go to the Student Center Cafe at St. Bonaventure, get a cup of coffee, and enjoy a folk singer. But it wasn't until the mid-1990s that Starbucks exploded nationally, and here in Buffalo, Spot Coffee opened its first cafe downtown. Now they're everywhere, and why are these places so popular today?
Well, it's really different. The place that you went to, it was maybe called a coffee house, but it wasn't really about coffee. It wasn't about the coffee that they were serving. They served you coffee, whatever it was, probably some big industrial machines or whatever.
You're right about that.
Yes. And you were fine with that. But coffee shops now are about the coffee. And people are looking to have fantastic coffee. And I have friends who are devotees of coffee who absolutely are just as dedicated to coffee as some people would be to wine or you know, they are connoisseurs. So I think that these coffee shops have sprung up because they like serving really fine blends of coffee and offering people lots of choices. But to your point, they're coming there for the same reason that you did, is it's like a place to sit quietly. You could be alone and yet be with other people because and maybe listen to a folk singer or a poetry reading. So that's still going on. But the other thing is, too, that coffee shops are people's offices now with the advent of the laptop. So you can go to the coffee shop, do work, but you feel somehow the hum of other people around you is somehow comforting, and it gives you a sense of being with others, and when you might not want to sit at home by yourself and work on something.
Well, that's a topic I want to explore more, because you don't go to a bar and see people on their computers.
No.
You're socializing.
Bars are different. Yes,
yeah, but at a coffee house, as you said, it's some people's offices.
That's right. It's some people's offices, and it's also good for meeting. For me, I have an office. I'm happy to work on my laptop at home. I don't need to work in a coffee shop and to me, it's like spending a lot of money that I don't need to on coffee or whatever. But for meetings, I think they're great. So that's the other things that's happened. Like serious meetings where you're not, and you just want to talk to somebody for maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. You don't want to commit to a meal. Coffee shops, when you first want to meet something, or actually even a blind date, mm-hmm. someone that you met on one of the dating apps. I would imagine coffee shops are a large percentage of those first meetings.
Yeah, yeah. So, a reporter in Buffalo wanted to meet me, and how do you do that? You don't go to a restaurant, you don't go meet a stranger for dinner, but meeting for breakfast at a coffee shop,
at a coffee shop, very normal.
Right,
absolutely. And it's perfect. And if it's for coffee only and not breakfast, so, you know, then it's you can get out of that meeting as quickly as you need to.
Yeah.
Or you can make that meeting last as long as you need it to. And as they're very all-purpose, unlike bars or restaurants that have limitations.
Do most of these neighborhood shops roast their own beans and make a unique blend?
It seems they do. This is something that is because the freshness of the roasted coffee bean is extremely important. And how else can you totally guarantee that except by roasting it yourself?
Now, except for the national chains like Starbucks and Tim Hortons, it seems most of the locally owned shops are unique in appearance. One of your captions says, it's all about the ambience.
Oh, absolutely. And they have wonderful ambiences. There's murals. There is artwork. There is interesting decor. Anything goes in a coffee shop, and that's what makes it fun, too.
Well, I want to get back to Tim Hortons. I mentioned Tim a moment ago, and it still amazes me that when I'm out and about during the morning drive time commute, the cars backed up at the drive-through of every Tim Hortons.
Extremely annoying if you're like rounding an intersection and you can't even get down the street because there's a line of cars. We have absolutely no problem blocking an entire street so that they can go to Tim Hortons. It astounds me.
Is that coffee so special?
There is a love affair between Western New Yorkers and Tim Hortons. One of our writers speculated that because it is so very strong, mm-hmm. he found it really strong. He said, what are they putting in that coffee? And so that could be it. But it's, it seems like once a week I'm going to see a box of Timbits on one of the surfaces in our office.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot escape from them. So it's just something that people feel really comfortable with. They know what they're going to get at Tim Hortons, and people like drive-thrus. They're convenient.
Do you find it interesting that national chains like Starbucks and the local shops coexist and both seem to have customers?
Well, I don't know if you remember, but when the first Starbucks came, there was some doubt about that. And there were some people who were... Many Buffalonians were kind of not wanting Starbucks to come at all. They were not joyful about Starbucks coming. They didn't feel we needed Starbucks. But yet Starbucks did come. Right around the time that I think Spot...
Yeah.
Oh, right around the same, in the 90s, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. Mm-hmm. It was fine. Coffee shops succeed very well. It doesn't seem to me that they have the problems that restaurants have with the high percentage of restaurants that close. I don't see that happening with coffee shops.
One thing I want to try is visiting Buckminster's Cafe.
Oh, yes, I've been there.
Have you?
Yes, and what you have to remember is the cans are totally separate, but they're behind glass, and it's very stylish. It's designed by the same designers who designed Tipico, which won an award from the Buffalo Niagara Preservation for their design. I think it was the People's Choice actually that year, and so it's got a lot of blonde wood. It's got that kind of high modern sort of aesthetic, and it's very clean. So on the one hand you have animals inside, on the other hand it's just like really clean, bright, and functional. I went to the opening, so it's really hard to judge, but I know that people have gone there. And then you can go in the room, and there's toys that you can, you know, play with a lot of cute, you know, cute cats, and they're ready for adoption. Mm-hmm. So it's providing that service, and she is getting her coffee from Tipico. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Same designer, same coffee.
Now, for those who enjoy a cup of coffee at home, there's a dilemma because you make a pot and you keep it on the burner and it just goes bad. That's the nasty thing about coffee. It doesn't last on the burner very long before it the taste goes away. And yet, your article, your special on coffee culture, does include some devices that people can buy inexpensively.
Very inexpensive and a great... great alternatives. I mean, I know that the pod, you know, that was, you know, that finally you could make an individual cup of coffee, and we had one. Mm-hmm. Everybody had one. We don't have one anymore. I have a pour over now and a French press. And what I do is I have a regular size French press. I just make a full pot and then just leave it to be cool and then just reheat it. That's better than keeping it on some sort of heating mm-hmm. element, way mm-hmm. better. So, I mean, that's sort of a compromise. But we do offer... our writer Jeff Biesinger has a list of single serve, pour over type coffee makers, or a little tiny espresso maker that's really cute. You know, the little kind of like a hourglass shape Italian espresso maker that's been around forever, and that you can just make one cup of coffee in for yourself, and you'll have just as good a coffee as any, you know, large size that you would get in a coffee shop.
Well, I still have a Keurig, but I don't use it as much as I used to because, first of all, I feel guilty throwing those containers away. They're bad for the environment. And what I do, I simply fill up a mug of coffee, or a mug with water, and I pour it into my drip coffee, put the requisite amount of grounds in there, and I get a perfect mug of coffee.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say requisite amount, because people don't realize how important it is to measure. They take it for granted that you need to measure amounts when you're cooking and baking. But in terms of coffee, No one, they just like grind up a bunch or throw it in there, or throw water. Well, I'm sure that'll be fine. Yeah. Well, it's not fine. Yeah. There are actual measurements, amounts of water and amounts of coffee, and they should match each other. And you can buy grinders that show measurements so that you know exactly how much you're putting in. One of our previous writers, Kevin Purdy, did a big story in Buffalo Spree that we have on our website about measuring and weighing, weighing coffee. So it's if you want it to be perfect, you have to put a little effort into it.
Yeah.
If you could just, you know, you want to just free flow it, then you can do that.
Yeah. Well, Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, as always, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.